If you would turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139 and 14. Psalm 139 and 14. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute. All right. Amen. When you find it, if you'd like to stand, you're more than welcome to. If you need to, if you want to sit at your seat, that's fine too. Amen. Psalm 139. Very familiar passage of scripture for us. 139 and 14 reads as follows. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Thus ends the reading of God. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. The New Living Translation of the Bible says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Amen. Amen. This morning, my brothers and sisters, I want to talk about it. Now, I've had, y'all know how I am. The Lord deals with me in so many different ways. Amen. I had several thoughts about this particular message on this morning. But I want to talk about it. I preached this before, and I called it Made by the Best. But I want to talk about, amen, this morning, no one drifts to heaven. No one drifts to heaven. No one drifts to heaven. Amen. David said in Psalm 139 and 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My brothers and sisters, as the Lord, amen, began to deal with me on what to talk about today, he took me through the life of David. Not only did he take me through the life of David, but he also talked to me a little bit about Paul. And we talk about those guys all the time. And he also began to deal with me on a young man by the name of Shannon McGuire. Amen? No one drifts to heaven, my brothers and sisters. And I also had in mind each and every one of you who are here today. I'm going to try to put this all together and make it make sense this morning. I need y'all to stay with me. Amen? Many years ago, my brothers and sisters, a captain of a whaling ship, amen, in the North Atlantic saw through his binoculars a huge and strange-looking ship. The ship was an old ship, and he wondered why in the world would this ship, why would this ship be drifting in the middle of nowhere? This ship had icebergs on each side, and as he looked through his binoculars, he said, well, why don't we get a closer look? So he begins to steer his ship in the direction of this ship that appeared to just be floating nowhere. As he approaches the ship, he steps on board and he begins to say these words, ship ahoy, ship ahoy. That means, hey, anybody on here? Amen. Nobody answers. He begins to investigate. He begins to walk around the ship and he begins to find men and women. The whole crew of that ship, my brothers and sisters, were frozen solid. Even the captain, fully dressed, sits in his chair, frozen solid. Are y'all going to pray with me? My brothers and sisters, this ship was far away from the regular flow of traffic in the sea. This ship had, in some shape, form, or fashion, drifted away from the path. And he discovered that this ship was not a recent ship, but this was an old ship. And apparently this ship had been floating in the middle and drifting to nowhere for a long time. Are y'all gonna pray with me? My brothers and sisters, so many of us feel as if we can just drift our way on into heaven. We feel as if we can get off the path of righteousness and just drift our way into heaven, but this is a rough and very dangerous sea that we're traveling on. And you can be tossed to and fro if you don't have a sense of direction. Apparently something had happened to the captain of that ship and he had lost his sense of direction. Or something had happened where he had drifted into the middle of nowhere. And if you drift long enough with no food, with no water, you're in a bad situation. My brothers and sisters, life can be like this ship, drifting without chart or captain. Amen. There are a lot of theologians and a lot of people in our that are men and women of our current day that have said things about the drift. Amen. Plato gave an example of this condition when he pictured the entire world drifting like a ship without a rudder. Y'all know what a rudder is, right? That's what steers the ship. Do you have, amen, the means to steer your ship and your life in the right direction? Some of us are just spinning out of control. Some of us are doing, when we say he picked me up, he turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground. And a lot of us say, oh, I've done a complete 360 in life. How many of you have ever said that? Well, if you've done a 360, what you did was you turned around and you ended up right back where you started. Some of us need to be doing some 180s. Amen. Turn around and go the other direction. But the ship had drifted off of its course. Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, a person who drifts is usually the last one to realize it. Amen. Have you ever had a family member that was drifting off course and everybody in the family goes to that individual? You need to check yourself. Oh, you're getting a little far out there, brother. But I'm all right. Or has that ever been you? Warning comes before destruction, my brothers and sisters. Amen. And I'm sure somebody on that ship went to the captain and said, listen, Cap, we seem to be going nowhere. We've been on this ship for years now. We're going nowhere and it's getting cold out here. Our blankets are getting thin. Our food is getting short. Have you ever found yourself in the middle of nowhere? Hallelujah, somebody. Because my brothers and sisters, we are all rational creatures, right? We begin making excuses for our behavior. I believe the captain began making excuses of why he ended up where he was. Well, see what it is. You see, I'm going to go around this over this way. Y'all know how, your uncle used to talk. When he's working on your car, he take your whole motor apart and all you needed was an oil change. They come up with all of these, all of these excuses, amen? And y'all remember we talked about excuses not too long ago. But people begin to make excuses for their behavior. We rationalize our action to the point that we are numb to our own condition. It ain't cold out here. I remember when I was a youngster, boy, this ain't nothing. Y'all. People begin to rationalize their condition. Your life is toe up from the floor up, beat up from the feet up, but we're going to be all right. Really? Are you? My ship coming. No, your ship ain't coming in. You missed it. You're in financial trouble, but you keep on going to the payday loan people. That is from Satan. Amen. Can you pay them off? No. You had to change your account. Make them eat it. Oh, am I in your neighborhood? I just keep it real. Drifting. 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 Amen. Woo. No one drifts to heaven, my brothers and sisters. It comes with, and I was going to say this for later, but it comes with making a decision. It comes with making a decision. On whom you, for me and my house, we will serve who? Y'all know this Bible. My brothers, y'all know I'm a juvenile probation officer, right? And I looked at this A study of juvenile delinquents indicates that we begin drifting at an early age. That's why when you see that little joker at 5 years old and he wants to be the robber, he don't want to be the cop. He want the gun and he want to break yourself. If your kid is doing that, he's drifting already. I don't want to go to church. It take too long. And he's 7 years old. He's drifting. Amen. Ooh, this is good stuff, boy. Y'all may not say amen today, but it's good. But a study of juvenile delinquents indicates that they begin drifting at an early age because of the fact a life of crime can usually be predicted by the time a kid is the age of 12. We laugh about baby kids. Baby kids end up being those kids in prison, locked up. Those young ladies that date thugs. I knew y'all get quiet. Preacher talking about us. But most teenagers are shocked and even offended when their elders point out their conduct, what their conduct will lead to. How many of y'all have ever tried to talk to a young person, say, listen, young man, listen, young lady, you need to chill out. You need to straighten yourself up. You need to, come on now, that's not right. How many, do they accept it? You know what, Reverend McGuire, you are so right. I need to change my ways. Deacon Smith, you know what? I do need to change my. Anybody ever been received like that? You old and you don't know what you're talking about. And if you have been, if somebody did, amen, respect you that much, then you must be going the right way. Amen? Because people must have respect for you. Amen? All right, back on course because I'm drifting. They don't see the direction in which they are drifting, these young people. They don't see the trouble that is ahead. Amen? Now, wait a minute, Pastor. What does this have to do with 139 and 14 in the book of Psalms? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, David knew who he was. The Bible declares that David was a man after God's own heart. Can I talk about David for a little while? Just for a minute. Candy, you don't smile. Okay, all right, I'm good. When I look at the life of David, I see that this young man, it follows. How many people in the Bible did it follow from childhood all the way through till he died? Moses? David? Jesus? Who else? John? That's right, John. John died young, no. How many other people? So it is something very significant about the life of King David. It says that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And Jesus Christ comes from the lineage from the house of David, right? Are y'all with me? Now, most of us try to make David something that he's not. Most of us try to make David a preacher. David was not a preacher. Because if he was a preacher, why'd he go to Nathan for advice? We want to make that, but David was a man after God's own heart. The reason why David is so important to us, my brothers, is because he was a man. Look at how many of y'all are in here. Look how many preachers are in here. Stand up, preachers. How many preachers we got in the house? Two of us. So God knew that there would be more men, more people. So that's why David's life is so significant. So you know what? If we would follow some of those things that David did, we could say I am beautifully and wonderfully made. Because we would know who we are and whose we are. Pastor, does that make sense? David didn't drift very far off. All but Bathsheba. Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, he did. He killed Uriah and he slept with his wife. And okay, but he got it right. Amen. He drifted off course a little bit. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Let me get myself back together. No one drifts to heaven, my brother. Y'all gonna stay with me? Yeah, y'all stay with me. The Bible, when it talks about the life of David, and I get excited about it. See, David did some things when he was young. He rose up early in the morning. Amen. David was trusted by his father because he was tending to his father's sheep. Right? And he was trusted even to take supplies to his brothers who were in the battlefield. Are y'all with me? David's life had a course. Amen. When David gets out there, amen, and he sees this giant Goliath talking about his God, making fun of his army, then he had a relationship with God, and he wasn't so upset about him bad-mouthing the army. He was upset about him bad-mouthing God. Follows his life all the way through. David ends up killing Goliath. Y'all know the story. Goes on to become king. Saul gets jealous. Women begin singing songs about David. Saul gets mad. Saul tries to kill him. David has a relationship with Jonathan, Saul's son. How many of y'all have gone through the same things that David has gone through? Relationship-wise, David's family. David had a child that died. Amen? But he also had some great children that were born. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Are y'all going to pray with me? And David always sought to do God's will. And every time he messed up, you know what he did? Look at the book of Psalms. He either gave God a praise or he gave God a prayer. And he probably said, Lord, I messed up. David was a man, but he didn't drift into who he ultimately ends up being. Amen? Does that make sense? He didn't drift into it. But every challenge that he was faced with, my brothers and sisters, he did the best that he could do with the help of God. Even when he messed up and he tried to make a pact with the Philistines. And when he comes back in his whole camp, all the women and all the children had been kidnapped. And then the men that had gone out with him said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stone David because he got our folks all messed up. He got our folks kidnapped. And then what did David do? He encouraged himself. Don't drift so far away that you can't even encourage yourself. How many of you have been so far away from the peaceful shore that you can't even encourage yourself? David's a good example, amen? Hallelujah, somebody. David was a good man. And David, my brothers and sisters, all of his life, you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to build the temple. Did he not? He wanted to do something for God. How many of y'all know that only what you do for Christ will last? Woo, y'all making this hard this morning. I'm speaking another language today. Brothers and sisters, another characteristic of drifting person is that he drifts from a higher to a lower position. Person, when you're drifting, you drift from a higher to a lower position. No one drifts to heaven. We drift from God. When we drift from God, my brothers and sisters, we drift from faith to reason. We drift from reason to senses, and then we drift from senses to animalism. Ultimately, drifting results in insensitivity. We become, we become numb to our real condition, immune to the touch of truth, and deaf to the voice of God. Let me read this poem for you this morning, and then I'm going to let y'all go. He was going to be all that a mortal should be tomorrow. No one would be better than he tomorrow. Each morning, he stacked up the letters he'd write tomorrow. It was too bad indeed. He was too busy to see Bill, but he promised to do it tomorrow. The greatest of workers this man would be tomorrow. The world would have known him had he ever seen tomorrow. But the fact is he died and faded from view, and that all that was left when living was through was a mountain of things he intended to do tomorrow. Are you drifting this morning? Look at yourself. Look at your situation. Check yourself this morning. David made plans. David made decisions. Amen, my brothers and sisters. And at the end of the day, amen, everything came out all right. Amen, because we still teach and preach about David. When I look, amen, in this book, amen, when I look at all the awesome men and women of God that are covered in these 66 books of the Bible, Tony, I see that some have drifted, but I see that drifting can be stopped only by an outside force. See, in David's life, he had all kinds of things that went on. He had problems with his family, his children, his children's friends. His daughter was raped. His son tried to kill him. The king tried to kill him. The Philistines were always trying to kill him. But he stayed on course. And he had a special relationship with God. Are y'all going to pray with me? Paul, my brothers and sisters, Paul was drifting into a life of violence as he harassed the early Christians. I told y'all I was going to talk about Paul. But one day while he was traveling to the city of Damascus, he was stopped by Jesus on the Damascus road. And he was filled with a supernatural power that enabled him to reverse the direction in his life. So if you're drifting this morning, I know a man named Jesus that can turn your life around. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Some of us were drifting far from the peaceful shore, but we found in Jesus a resting place. And we can say that ever since I gave my life to Christ, things might not have been perfect, hallelujah, but I had a covering. The reason why those men froze to death on that vessel is because they didn't have a covering. Ain't God all right? It's good to be in a good church. Ain't God all right? It's good to have a great relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Hallelujah. It's time to stop drifting. It's time to stop drifting this morning. And it's time to get back on course where God intended for us to be. Are y'all gonna pray with me? You have to reach deep down inside. Hallelujah, and call upon the Lord and tell the Lord, I need you to turn this vessel around. It's getting cold out here. I need you to turn my life around. I'm getting far from away from what I was taught. What I was taught in Sunday school. What I was taught in Bible study. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Ain't God all right? My brothers and my sisters, as I look through my Bible, as I was preparing for this sermon, I saw that there were 66 books in this Bible. Are y'all going to pray with me? Y'all better come on before you miss it this morning. My brothers and my sisters, every time I seem to be drifting in my life, I can open up this book and I can find a story that pertains to my life. Ain't God all right? Have you ever been in a situation and you had to open up the book and find something in this book that would help your life out? When you start to drift, just pick up the instruction manual. Ain't God all right? If I could go back and tell the captain of that ship, if I could tell him anything, I would tell him, young man, you should have picked up the map. You should have picked up the map. Because in the map, there's direction. Ain't God all right? Are y'all gonna pray with me? There's 66 books in this Bible. Hallelujah. Ain't the Lord all right? But how many of y'all know? How many of y'all knew that there's 67 books? Are y'all going to pray with me? There's another book, and it's the book of Shannon McGuire. Are y'all going to pray with me? Just like David, I've been through things in my life. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some valleys to go through. And if you were to look at your life, there's another book in your Bible. It's the Brother Ray book. It's the Brother Rick's book. It's the Deacon Smith book. Ain't God all right? Are y'all going to pray with me? There's a Johnny book. Ain't God all right? There's so many times in our lives where we didn't know who to turn to. But in my book, when it got cold, when it got dark, when I got lonely, my book told me to turn to Jesus. Ain't God all right? In my book, there's some red ink in my book when Jesus was talking to me. Ain't God all right? He said, come to me, those who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Ain't God all right? Y'all better give God some praise this morning. What does your book say? Somebody's book says, I was sick and I couldn't get well, but the Lord healed my body. Somebody's book says that I should have lost my family. I should be divorced, but the Lord saved my marriage. Ain't God all right? Somebody's book says I lost my mother, but the Lord, he brought me through. Somebody's book says I lost my daddy. Ain't God all right? But the Lord, he brought me through. Somebody's book says that old church that I went to, they didn't care nothing about me. They didn't treat me right. But the Lord found a new place for me to give God some praise and some worship. Ain't God all right? Somebody's book says I was an alcoholic, but he cleaned me up. Somebody's book says I was a drug addict, but he cleaned me up. Ain't God all right? Somebody's book says my child ought to be in prison, but the Lord spared him. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Somebody's book says I ought to be crazy, but I still have my senses. Ain't God all right? Somebody's book says I ought to be bankrupt, but I got $2 or $3 in the bank. Ain't God all right? Are y'all gonna pray with me this morning? Because God has been so good. Give him some praise, because you are wonderfully made. You are beautifully made, because God did it. How many of y'all know that he did it? Ain't God all right? My brothers and my sisters, how many of y'all know in your book that he died for you? How many of y'all know that he gave his life? Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that believes that he's coming back again? He's all right. He's all right. I don't have to drift no more. I don't have to drift no more. Hallelujah. Because when the map, if the map gets destroyed, are y'all going to pray with me? How many of y'all know that sometimes things will get so bad when you open up your Bible, hallelujah, and you begin to read, it just don't seem like it's going anywhere. Have you ever been there? I guess I'm the only one. But as time has progressed, my brothers and sisters, not only do we have the word, which is the map, but we also have GPS. Are y'all going to pray with me? If you got the Holy Spirit deep down in your soul, hallelujah, you got GPS. Are y'all going to pray with me? I'm so glad when I don't have my Bible that I still have a connection. Ain't God all right? Does anybody here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not just going to drift on into heaven. You got to make a decision. You're not just going to float on into glory. You got to make some decisions. It's time to make a decision this morning. Ain't God all right? And if I had been on that ship, I would have made a sign that said SOS. I need some help. I would have called 911. Because even when your signal don't work, you can still call 911. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Y'all had to excuse me. Ain't no need to drift this morning. When we were in Austin last week, we were headed to eat. And I was following my little brother. How many of y'all know that sometimes you can't follow the other folks? I don't know who he was listening to, but I know where we were supposed to be going. And every time he go past the street, my GPS would reroute. And I told Candace, I said, Candace, something, he ain't going the right way. We should have turned four blocks ago. He's still going straight. But my GPS kept on talking to me. Some of y'all following folks you ain't got no business following. GPS done told you what to do. You know, GPS rerouted you. You better reroute. Brother Rick, I saw my chance. We came through a green light, but by the time I came through, it was yellow. So I had to mash on the gas a little bit. And I had to move around my brother. Because I don't know where my brother was taking me. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? I had a connection that was better than his connection. Ain't God all right? But I love my brother and I eased around him. Ain't God all right? GPS still talking to me. And I told Ken, I said, pick up the phone and call Darrell and tell him to follow me. Ain't God all right? And we all made it where we intended to go. Ain't God all right? Because I had a better connection. Hallelujah. I didn't get mad at him, D. I just moved around him and said, follow me. Some folks y'all mad at. Whew. There's some people that you upset at right now. They're floating and you floating right behind them. You're going to float your butt right on the hail. Ain't nothing wrong with switching lanes and move over in front. And you know what they'll do? They will follow you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Woo. Know who you are. Know whose you are.